911, what's your emergency?
It's my daughter.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott.
And I'm Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Scotty.
Today we are seeing a movie, because this is before and after reviews. That's where we go see a brand new movie in the theater and give our thoughts before and after.
Spoiler-free, of course.
Spoiler-free. Spoiler-free, Joe. Did you know that?
Yes, because I invented it.
Did you?
No.
Did you coin the phrase spoiler free? I didn't know about this.
No, but I'd like to take credit for it, but I can't do that.
What are we seeing tonight?
Okay, we're seeing Long Legs and I Can't Wait for the Cage Rage.
Oh yeah, so yeah, let's break it down. We're going to see the new horror film Long Legs. This is directed by Oz Perkins, I believe. Is that how you say his name? If I hope I'm not butchering that. Yep, Oz Perkins. He is an interesting director. He's made very polarizing movies, like very debatable movies. If I think that people are so on the fence with his films, each one of his movies, The Black Coat's Daughter, a movie that I particularly really enjoyed that the internet seems to absolutely hate, which is I Am the Pretty Thing in the House, I think it is.
The pretty thing that lives in the house.
Yes. A lot of people do not like this film, but I think it is an incredibly well done live movie version of like an H.P. Lovecraft story or something like that. Edgar Allan Poe poem made into a live movie. It's very inventive to me, and I was very impressed by it.
I didn't rate that one.
A lot of people hated it. So a lot of his other movies, I think we've always, or at least I have always fallen on a 6. His movies are very slow and like very well done, but like a slow pace. And they're very like well choreographed. Like they're shot beautifully. They have good cinematography. They feel extremely arty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of people would say, like, you know, a lot of horror fans, there's always that two side of the fence, right? Like, there's the horror fans who just love a good slasher with, you know, the jump scares, the very typical, you know, Blumhouse is pumping out kind of movie. And then there's that whole other side that wants to go see the A24, the Neon movies, which this one is tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And he does that kind of stuff. But a lot of those movies don't always hit. People don't know how to side with them. And I feel like his movies are very well known for this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always into that kind of thing, but none of his movies, except for that, the pretty girl in the house. I'm not going to go say the whole damn name every time, but I felt very lukewarm on. I always thought they were decent, good movies, but never great.
Yeah, well, I had to look that one up because I don't recall seeing that one.
Which one?
The pretty girl. But because I didn't rate it for whatever reason, but now I remember that woman was creepy as hell. The one that she had to take care of in the house.
Yeah, it's mostly about, yeah, like a ghost story.
Yeah. I just remember that lady.
Yeah, he's had an interesting career. He's an actor as well. He shows up in a lot of movies like Star Trek.
Was he in Star Trek?
He's just like a cameo. He's in Psycho 2, for God's sakes. This guy has been working in the industry. He was just in Nope. I think he was the tech guy that came and gave him the tech.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, he also directed Gretel and Hansel, another movie people are very lukewarm on. It looks gorgeous. And just like this movie tonight, it has a very amazing trailer.
And it does.
That is a problem we have to discuss.
Yes.
Because we always just talk about when a trailer is amazing, usually the movie is very sketchy. We're always very interested in, do movies ever live up to their incredible trailers? Now, the thing about Longlegs is it has the best marketing trailers I've ever seen in a very long time. It is very reminiscent of old trailers from the 70s and maybe the early 80s, where they were doing these very, you know, just shock value trailers that didn't necessarily have to be a part of the movie, but they were really good in capturing what makes you want to see a film. I remember there's a really great trailer for The Exorcist where it was just a flashing face.
Yep.
And it is very scary. It creeped me out.
You mean the Linda Blair, just like the...
No, the Pazuzu face.
Oh, the Pazuzu. And it's
flashing in white and it just plays the music.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's incredible marketing.
I mean, I'm still seeing that face in my nightmares.
Yeah.
It's very scary.
Right? And that's the thing, though. Some people don't like this kind of trailer because they want to see things to have them be sold. Me, when I see a trailer like this, I'm sold.
Yeah.
If it's that catchy, that interesting, and they're that bold, and that, I guess that kind of makes you think, oh, they really know their product is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in the trailer, if you notice, there's like a tone. It has, like, you're right. It has that, like, creepy 70s film vibe to it. Like, when you first saw the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like, way back, you know, it has kind of like that. Like,
that's a good one to bring up.
Like, yeah. A greasy, filthy feeling to it. And this one, not so much, not that filthy, but still the greasy, creepy, like, you just want to rub your eyeballs and make it go away kind of feeling. You know,
this I had the opposite effect with this. I thought more like Seven, where I was like, this is disturbing. I don't know what this is. And I'm so intrigued, like it's a mystery movie.
Yeah. And I still feel like a little bit of creep.
Yes.
You know, like I'm creeped because like when I watched the trailer, I was like, oh, my Lord, like Nicolas Cage is going to be like Cajun, you know,
yeah.
He is going to be just doing his. Just be in Cage. Like, he's going to be Cajun.
Oh, that Cajun. I like Cajun.
Rage Cage.
What I guess that's another thing to get into now is the actors. Because what I really enjoy about the trailer is you don't really know anybody that's in it besides the main actress. And I guess we should talk about her, too. That's Micah Monroe.
Micah Monroe.
She is now a pretty honored. I would think that she's in the League of Scream Queens since she has made about 5 horror movies that have been pretty successful.
Yeah, she was in It Follows. She did the Guest.
She did The Guest. She also did that Greta film. She was in that. And she was also in. There's another one, too. I feel like she. Oh, that one that was. Follows or whatever.
It Follows.
No, not. Oh, The Watcher.
The Watcher.
It's called Watcher.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's the one that they were in another country.
She goes to another country.
Yeah, that movie was creepy as hell.
It's an odd one. A lot of people haven't talked about or seen. But she's made some pretty interesting ones. Have all been really pretty decent films. So seeing her do more horror is actually really interesting. I think she's been sketchy on how she feels about being called a scream queen, but she's like laughing about it. I think that she's finally like agreed with it.
Embrace it, baby. Embrace it because you're good at it.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. but the other thing is that Nicolas Cage is not even shown in the trailers.
But you can hear him.
And I didn't even know it was him until it said his name. And I was like, wait, what? Because I didn't expect him to do another movie like this. You know, he keeps doing these resurgences of his career and changing who he is as an actor. And I'm always extremely fascinated by it. And he's been on a really good streak again of making interesting films. So
yeah, he really has. But you know how I feel about him. I'm on that hill. So
you are on that hill.
I've always been on that hill. So I want to see everything that he does.
For me, I don't believe in the hill.
I know you don't.
Blow the hill up, get out of the hill, and realize that things can suck, you know?
Oh, I'll admit it, but, you know, yeah. I do love him. I just love him. I've always loved him. Always.
Not always. There was a good period there where his movies were pretty terrible.
It doesn't matter. I still loved him. I'm like that person. I'm like that Mets fan. Yeah. That no matter how many times they lose, I'm still a fan. And I'm going to be in those stands. And I'm going to wear my colors. And I'm going to be like, hey, don't you ever talk bad about my team.
You sons of bitches.
Sons of bitches. And
raging.
That is me. I am caging up this house.
Oh, God.
And I'm going to be on that hill with my Nicolas Cage t-shirt on and declare my love. Undying. And that's it. Forever.
I love it. I mean, there's a lot going for this movie, so I guess I should ask you, what are your expectations with coming out score-wise?
I think I'm going to come out with a solid 7. Because I think that the trailer... See, that's the thing. That I usually don't let the trailers rope me in. But sometimes you just can't help it. You
can't help it.
You know? It's like any Wes Anderson film. I'm in. So, like, if I see, like, a trailer for a Nicolas Cage movie, I'm sorry, but I'm in. And I think this one's very intriguing. And you're right, it does have that 7 vibe to it.
Yeah, Silence of the Lambs, too.
Yeah, because, you know, she's an FBI agent and the whole thing. So, I'm kind of, and you know, it's a crime thriller.
I guess. I don't know anything about it.
And that's, like, I love those. So I think I'm more excited than I should be, because, you know, sometimes Nick Cage, he goes up and he comes down and then he goes up and then he comes down. But you know what? Here, I am here for you, man. So yeah, I'm coming out with a 7.
Dream Scenario is top notch. Yeah, so I don't know why people aren't talking about it enough.
Right. And we like Pig. Mandy. All right, he's winning.
That was just the last one. I haven't seen Arcadian yet. I'm hoping that comes to Shudder sooner or later. But
yeah, actually, I think it is soon.
Yeah, we haven't seen that, but he has been on a good streak. My problem, though, last week when we saw Maxine, you were extremely hyped, and I said I'm very cautiously optimistic on this film. Yeah. But I'm very cautious because the other two were so good. And yes. So we came out very disappointed. Now, I'm going to have that problem tonight because I am extremely hopeful for this movie. More so than I normally am. But I'm looking for another one of these Oz Perkins movies where I come out disappointed.
Mm.
You know, I don't know. I'm worried that it's going to be like I've reviewed a lot of his other movies, a 6.
So you think you're going to come out with a 6?
I'm hoping. If it's less, I'm going to be very upset. I don't know.
Oh, God. Now I'm like worried because I'm so optimistic. But I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, Nick Cage is in it. A lot of it. If he didn't have anything to do with this, I'd be like, okay, this is just another crime thriller. But he's totally caging up the place. He's bringing the cage. And I'm like totally stoked because I just have to be. I am. I can't help it. So
I just clicked in my brain that he is the son of Anthony Perkins. And that's why he was in Psycho 2. It just clicked in my brain.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, I had to look it up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I just was, while we were talking, I was like, is he the son? Because I saw that he was in Bed and Breakfast, and I do remember that Anthony Perkins' son was a part of that movie.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh, shit, is this his son? Very interesting.
Wow. He's got beautiful eyes. I'm looking at him right now.
Yeah, I mean.
Wow. Oh, my God, there's some pictures on here where he's actually got the same hair as Norman Bates.
Oh,
like,
yeah?
Like, that's the side do. You know, like he has that, like, little boy charm thing going on.
Interesting.
Oh, that's cool. That's creepy.
I don't know why it took me so long with the last name and everything. So we're going in and we're both optimistic.
I can't help it. I'm optimistic. So, I can't help it.
All right, let's go check this movie out.
Don't move.
Is it scary being an FBI agent?
The letter was left with the bodies. We have 10 letters like it over the past 30 years. And all of them signed with one word. Long legs.
He'll kill. And kill again.
Oh, there she is.
You could have been nice with me. But you didn't.
Put the gun down!
And now that is led to all of this.
And we're back, and so continues Scott's year of don't wish for things. Oh, we are back from just seeing Long Legs.
Okay.
Take it away.
Okay. Well, I will say a couple of pros about this film. Mm-hmm. The movie kind of gave us like a Silence of the Lambs type feel.
Ooh, sorry.
Noisy. And I like the idea of it not really telling us what era this is,
even it's the though 90s.
They kind of hinted, because there's some hints in there for presidents on the wall, and but there's no like cell phones or anything like that. It kind of had like a 70s feel, but then not. It was weird.
They told you she was born in the 70s, so
yeah. But the tone of the movie just felt, you know, like it could have been different eras. Anyway, that was pro.
Yeah, to add to that, I will say that the feeling
of
is
the film, yeah.
I would almost call it, he nails it. It's a masterclass in making a vibe. This is something that horror movie people do not get right anymore. The vibe of horror, the idea that any moment something bad can happen, that feeling, that creepiness.
Mm-hmm.
He nails that.
Yes, he does.
He's very, very good at that in his movies.
Mm-hmm. Well, he had a lot of pretty decent shots, I think, of like, you know, the directing wise with filming different angles. And
he's great at it.
He was really good at that.
Same thing goes with, I really like the lead actress in this. Now, that's to say that I think that she's very good at what she's doing. It's not her fault that the story isn't connecting to her. But I will say that she is doing a damn good job at what she's supposed to be doing.
Yeah, that was going to be my next and final pro that I was going to mention. because after those items that I mentioned...
Oh, the other actor that's playing her boss.
That is Blair Underwood.
Blair Underwood.
And he never ages either. Always been handsome.
His voice is incredible.
He has a great voice. He's always looked the same. He's always been handsome. It's like, all right, come on, man.
Calm down on that handsome thing.
No, I'm just saying. Like, he's like another Hollywood android.
I'm watching.
He doesn't age.
Yes, he is a very good looking man. Yes, without a doubt. Yeah, he is a... He has a very powerful presence and voice, and when he was on screen or talking to her, I liked the chemistry instantly with them as a, like him as her boss type of thing, walking her through things.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like that was very good.
Yeah. Okay, so the cons. Well, the story was, it was different, but it wasn't.
I have so much to say.
I mean,
on that.
I know you're going to say it's probably been done into the ground.
I wouldn't say that this is anything like you've seen it before.
Not like you've seen it before, no.
No, I would say that that's maybe where the problems come in. There is a killer. Man, I see
what you did.
Again, that is not intentional puns, but it is a very good strong concept that is just not scripted well. It's like, this is his problem, and this is exactly what I was afraid of, because this has happened in all of his movies. Really cool concept with great directing, with the lack of script. Overall, script failure problems, where the story does not build up to its moments, and scenes are done because they're almost like, isn't this creepy or isn't this cool? And it's not. Sometimes less is better. And he almost seems to understand that, because he does so much less in the right moments.
Yeah.
And then he just does too much. And if there is anybody, if anybody knows, there is one particular actor that when you give him too much, he goes way too far. And that is Mr. Nicolas Cage. And here he is, showing exactly the issue with his acting. Now, I really like him because he can do so much, but he has a particular unique idea of story and how to portray the story. And he's in some of his movies where he's gone insane with his acting. He said that, oh, I was channeling the Wolfman. And you know what? Here he's channeling what I would say is Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler mixed in with the Joker.
That is a really good way to put it.
It is. I don't know what the hell they were thinking with this.
It was bonkers. I don't know what they put on his face or what they did.
He looks like Mickey Rourke.
I mean, he does look like Mickey Rourke. He really does. And he has that yes, you are correct. Everything you said, Joker thing going on. But you're right. And hey, let me tell you. As much as I love him and as much as I'm on that hill, I will tell you, I thought that it was way too much.
It was too much.
It was too, like, bombarding.
Yep.
With, it was the over-the-topness.
It became silly, which is a problem with him.
Because you take a movie that's tonally cool, you know, like, the whole entire movie is so, it's got, like, a little creep factor, a little, you know, mystery, air of mystery about it and everything, and then you just throw that in and it just goofs up the place, yeah. You know?
Even his, just the way he looks. Now, it's creepy when the opening of this movie is really well shot. It is, they were doing this old camcorder, like, footage.
Yeah.
And they're cutting off Nicolas Cage's face. You only see his lips. It's really well done. And it is creepy, and it adds this, oh, we're in for a really cool movie.
Yeah.
And then as the movie progresses, the more and more we see Nicolas Cage, the more you feel like you need to laugh at everything that you're looking at.
Yeah.
And it ruins the entire plot. The same goes with characters not doing things that normal human beings would do. And so you already have a feeling and a... The movie pushes you out of the believability that it needs to suck you in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the suspension of disbelief can only go so far. And that is a huge, important thing. You need your viewers to completely accept what they're watching,
mm-hmm.
to have it affect them. The problem is, it constantly, every time a character does something, like they hear a huge noise, they go in, they investigate? How do they investigate? You start watching that and you go, why would they do this? Why would this person do this? Why wouldn't they tell them about this? And that's where you just, okay, you're kicking me out of the movie already. And now I'm seeing it as a person watching a painting. And yeah. And then that, you're not in the movie. You're not absorbed anymore.
Yeah. Every time that something happened where it was too much was shown to us, I was like, damn, like the mystery is gone out, you know, because I started to realize, oh, okay. And it just dragged me out of the feeling that I was in. So, yeah, it dragged me down. It really did.
It does. It just pushes you out. And I think that it's important because halfway through the movie, to the halfway mark, I was still accepting it. I was telling my brain, don't think about it too much. Like, don't think about why this character is doing the things they're doing. Maybe it will come to a conclusion that gels with the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, to use an example of like The Force Awakens in Star Wars, right? When we all saw that movie, everybody's like, oh, why was this character doing this? Well, the next one's going to explain it. You know, it didn't. That's why I'm pissed off. But you tell your brain, okay, maybe that's the twist. And that's the same thing that happens here. I'm telling myself, everything's going to get a satisfying conclusion to why this character is acting this way or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it is there in this movie. The problem is, it's just not satisfying enough.
No, it's not. And it's very lackluster.
And as when you hit that halfway mark, even when I was fighting my brain, that's when like the Nicolas Cage stuff happens. And at that point when he is, I think he's, maybe they hired him and they told him, hey, we're going to make a Madballs movie. You're going to play a Madball, a living Madball or a Garbage Pail Kid. And then he was like, I'm in. And that's what he's doing. And while it is disturbing on some level, it does not compute in your brain as like a movie or something that you're supposed to be not laughing at. And it's, the movie is conflicting in tone in that way. So it's like the movie that the main actress is in is a whole nother movie different than Nicolas the one Cage.
Nick Cage is in. It's a totally different movie. Yeah, and most of the time I'll say, you know, less is more.
Yes.
But I never thought that when it came to Nicolas Cage, because I love his Cage Rage. I love that.
Would you like the Cage Rage in that bad, so bad it's good
way? Yes, I do.
It does work in certain movies.
It does. But here, I feel like it just, like you said, just brought us out of the movie. And, you know, I couldn't get back. Like, once it started, I was like, ugh.
Do you think this also has a problem where Oz Perkins, the director and writer, do you think it's one of those starstruck moments where he's working with Nicolas Cage and he doesn't want to tell him less?
That's possible. I mean, it's,
you know what I'm saying?
What, like, I think is, when it comes to Nick Cage, I think that most directors just say, okay, go crazy.
I've heard so many stories of people telling famous directors, like, you know, I think maybe this, and then that director's like, no. And then they're like, whoa, shit. And I can see some directors, some writers, like actors, being a big actor and walking in. Like, I think, what is it, famously Marlon Brando.
Mm-hmm.
No one wanted to tell him anything, so they let him go.
Oh, because he was like a freaking icon, and everyone was like, you know, do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, it's like on Superman, right? Richard Donner could not tell him not to say Krypton instead of Krypton.
Yeah.
And they just left it in the movie, Krypton.
I mean, they, as the director, it's your job to, you know, have your actors do, you know, what they're supposed to do, and as far as, you know, what you want from them. You know, the performance and everything. And also, I think you're right. It did have something to do with Nick Cage being also a producer of this film.
Oh.
He was listed as producer of this film. Mm. So, I mean, that kind of signs the contract right there. Yes. That he could just do what he wants. But I do believe that you're partly right, where he probably was like, Oz is probably like, you know, you're Nick Cage, you just do your thing. But I feel like this movie had a lot of potential. It did, because I liked the way it was going and the way it was directed and the tone of this movie. It was very eerie, and it just had so much going for it. If not for those little things that were like, okay, this is a little thing, but it's important.
It affects the overall, and it becomes a big problem.
It becomes a big thing. Yeah.
I wanted to point this out to you too, and I don't know, I want to hear what you think about this, but you know, we were talking about like the Seven feel and the Silence of the Lambs feel,
mm-hmm.
but I could not unsee what this movie really wanted to be, which was Twin Peaks.
Oh my God. I definitely felt Twin Peaks in this.
When it started getting Black Lodge almost.
Yeah.
That's where I was like, okay, I don't know how many people can be on board with this. Because this is unusual.
Yeah.
And when you're not fully explaining your universe and how things work,
mm-hmm.
you're kind of really hard to accept it. And it's going to be the people who just are going to be like, that's cool. And they're going to give it a pass because they think it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also going to be those people who are fighting it going, that is absurd. And I don't understand how and why it's occurring. Yeah. But I just got to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be the battle with this movie, I think, overall.
Yeah, I do agree with you. I feel like there are a lot of properties in here, like a lot of different, you know, little hidden things that kind of relate to other movies. But I feel like if he would have just stuck to the one tone, you know, instead of just changing it up when Nick Cage came on screen and took us out of the moment, I feel like this could have been a successful film. I don't think this movie was a bad film at all. I feel like there's things in there that were really neat about it.
Yeah, I do too, but I'm on the fence of it not being a bad movie.
Wow, okay. I don't think this was... I mean, I would say that the directing was good. Her acting was really good. Blair Underwood was good. I know Nick Cage went above and beyond, a little bit too overboard, but he didn't completely take over the whole movie though. He
sure.
You know, that I don't feel like he did.
All right. Can I fight with you a little bit on this?
Yeah,
then?
Of course. Okay.
Because when the second half occurs, it gets extremely dull and absurd. Mm-hmm. And do you think that what you're told is going on, does it click in your brain as being good or is it bad? Like, what occurs? Like, what the twist of this movie is? What they're saying is happening.
I was kind of hoping for something else, but I kind of knew halfway through that there was going to be something that, okay, yeah, like, I was expecting this. I don't know. I kept being conflicted in my head a little bit.
I also just thought of another thing. I forgot. I wanted to tell you, I wanted to say this to you, but I guess the ending, extremely quick.
Mm-hmm.
I knew what was happening. And what was going to happen, I thought they telegraphed it in the opening so heavily that I knew it was coming. And so I was like, I know where we're going. I just don't know how we're getting there.
Yeah.
And when it was getting closer, I was like, it's so obvious where we're going in this ending here.
I knew too. I was just like, okay, what's the end result? I want to know what the end result is going to be.
The only thing I couldn't tell is the how, and that was the only when I got that, I was like, I don't like it. That's how I don't like, so it doesn't really work. And that's a shame, because like I said, I was for the first half I was fighting myself. I was telling my brain, no, this is actually pretty interesting, and this is, you know, I had this thought in my head during the movie. I was thinking Maxine in this, the totally different movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And both have, like, this one has the things that I wanted Maxine to have.
Yeah.
And Maxine was lacking in the things that this movie had, right? I wanted it to be exciting. I wanted it to be a visual flair. It nailed an 80s vibe, where this one is nailing, like, this 90s creepy vibe type of thing that they're trying to do. They both are successful in that sense. But Maxine's not creepy. It didn't have a horror movie vibe. It just felt like a weird thriller, maybe. And this one felt, this is horror. This is creepy.
Oh, I definitely felt the creep vibe in this.
Exactly. Yeah. And then both movies, like Longlegs, to me, has a really unique story going on. Whereas Maxine is very straightforward. And I was battling my head. I was like, well, this is way better. Like, even if I had problems with Maxine and I thought it was mediocre, I'm like, we're in the halfway mark. I was like, Longlegs is way better so far. This is a better film in all senses. Then I got to the last half and I went, I don't know if I could ever watch this film again. And I was thinking to myself, I could watch Maxine again.
I don't know. I mean, I think I would watch both films again, because sometimes on the second viewing, things come across differently than the first time. So
true. And I think that Maxine might
Is that your stomach or mine?
I don't even know if that'll pick up on the mic, but we both heard it. But I was going to say that Maxine might actually benefit from a second viewing, maybe because the first reaction is a little muddled because of expectation. Mm-hmm. And so a second viewing might actually grow. Whereas this movie, I think that the cracks will even be more evident.
I don't know. I'll have to watch it again. I will watch it again. I will, to see if things change for me.
I can't imagine watching this one again.
I would.
Because I know where it's going. And it sucks because there are some really cool ideas in this movie. There is a doll factor, which we both love, and mm-hmm. it is very creepy. There is a really cool visual of the doll with a... putting like a... it's in the commercial, putting the like the black
shroud
over it, and you're seeing like what looks like demon eyes through it real quick.
Yeah.
Very cool. I love that visual.
There's a lot of good visuals in this movie. I really do feel that way. What are you going to give this?
That's my problem right now. I'm battling.
I think you're probably going to be at a 5, right?
I'm almost at a 4. Okay. I know. I'm going to go with a 5. I'm going to be a little more generous. This was going to be a hard 6. Mm-hmm. There was a time where I was like, points just kept deducting. And when you laughed, you said, "What's the matter with you? Did you fall asleep?" I said, "No, I wanted to." I found the last half extremely like obvious and dull. And because of the obviousness, and I just was like, okay, this can end at any moment.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was kind of leaning towards a 6 on this because it was competently directed. And I mean, yes, he was over the top, but she was good. And, you know, I think I'm just going to stick with the 5. You know, it was a little bit better than mediocre, but I can't give it a 6.
I'm surprised that you were liking it as much as you were, because I thought even you were agreeing, like,
yes, you know, because
this is laughable.
There was a mystery about it, and I love movies that have mystery and creep factor 11. And this movie was creepy, and it had mystery, and it also had Nicolas Cage. But I tell you, he was probably the weakest thing about it.
Every time you bring up a point, I feel like I want to talk to you about it. Like, you said mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to have a mystery, you actually have to have, like, a procedural. Like, you know, you have to have cops trying to figure out a mystery. You have to have...
someone trying to solve it. Yeah.
You have to have actual things for the viewer to actually try to decipher with them.
Yeah.
This movie goes, we don't care if you understand anything. We're just going to have a character say, this is what is happening. Yeah, and I was like, this isn't a mystery.
Well, I mean, I spent the first half of the movie figuring out, like, trying to figure, like, okay, what's going to be the twist here? I was going through motions in my mind of what could be happening, because I feel like some of it wasn't very straightforward. There was a little bit of mystery there.
They didn't tell you anything to even give you that mystery. Like, there was no, well, here's what's in pictures. They're not seeing something that we could see. You know, there's none of that. We don't get to see the pictures. They're just on a board far off, or there's a bunch of lettering, mm-hmm. and you can't see it. There's like a card. You can't read it. Like, it's too fast. You're not given any of the evidence to help you build a case with the detectives, and that's lacking. Whereas Silence of the Lambs, you know, you're following this cop, and you're getting all the bits as they're getting the bits.
Yeah, you're like totally with Clarice. You're totally in it with her.
Yeah, and you feel like you're a part of the police work.
Yeah.
You know, same thing with 7. You feel every clue. What is going on? What is going on? And in this movie, you're like, she just tells you. And then you're like, and even the cop goes, how did you come to this? And yeah.
Yeah.
How did you come to this? Like,
they don't tell us.
You just kind of watch them flip through pages. And you're like, okay, it's happening.
I was looking.
Yeah.
That's exactly what
she said. I had more time. I had time.
Yeah, I had time. I was looking. Okay, fine. Okay. Whatever. But yeah, I'm leaning towards just going with a 5 because I feel like there's just too much wrong with it to give it a 6.
Yeah, I mean, you can hear in me how much I'm very disappointed, and so I want to go lower. Yes, but there is enough here that's unique and interesting and visually pleasing to give it at least a 5.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate that visual and all of that kind of stuff, production and cinematography and score, that can only go so far. You really need that connecting story to help you enjoy that meal. Do you know what I mean? You know, it can look beautiful, the steak. When you taste it and cut like in, shit. It tastes like shit. Yeah. Then you're pissed. Okay. Waiter, I didn't want well done. You
know? It's like when you get bad prime rib at Outback.
Yeah. Oh, that's something about that. But yeah, that's it. Do you have any other thoughts or anything to say? Because with him, Barry Keoghan, maybe playing the Joker, that little shot of him in the new Batman movie, you know, Matt Reeves' Batman, and the idea that he could play, he looked like a madball. And I'm like disturbed. I don't want it. I'm like, please, God, don't give me this movie where he looks like a madball. Well, now Nicolas Cage and him can make a movie together. The Madballs film. That's how I look. That's how I'm like. I cannot unsee Michael Rooker in whiteface. Like, with white makeup. That's how I saw Nicolas Cage in this film. Like, oh, I just could not unsee it. No, I was laughing.
Michael Rooker? Why leave him in?
Not Michael Rooker.
No.
Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke. Sorry,
Mickey Rourke and the Wrestler.
Leave Michael Rooker out of this.
Even with the hair. He even has his hair in the Wrestler.
Yeah, he does. It's a hot mess.
Holy shit.
Anyway, I gotta go to bed. All right, I'm done with this.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Hit us up on social media, on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. Well, I'd love to hear your opinions. If you've seen Long Legs, you listen to this, and you have thoughts and you differ on my thoughts or Joe's thoughts, or you agree, please tell us. I would love to hear why or what I'm missing. You know. So, yeah, thanks again. Have a good one. Until next time. Bye.
Are you still saying your prayers? Our prayers.